Because the thing about, for example, freestyle that I enjoy so much about Daniel Lysons, what really shocked me was his size. Like, when you're a big person doing things, there's so much energy.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by GoNation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is somebody I was looking forward to for a long time, somebody who shocked and surprised everybody at the FIBO competition a few weeks ago. What can I say? Nordic champion, Swedish champion with only 19 years old, and he's 86 kg heavy. So I'm super looking forward to this interview. Thanks that you take the time, Simon Imhauser.
Thank you so much. I'm extremely happy to be here.
I'm also really happy that you take the time. We received a lot of quality questions from the community, and we have interesting topics that we can talk about. First of all, how are you doing these days? How was the FIBO competition for you?
I'm great. The FIBO competition was it was insane for me. The first competition I've been on where the level on the athletes, it's so high. And just being in the aura by being surrounded by so many great people, it's extremely inspiring. So my training and workouts after FIBO has probably been the best ones for me ever. They definitely had a good influence on me.
That's cool. That's super cool. Like, when I remember, when did we meet first time, or when did I see you first time performing? It was 2019 at the Beast of the Bars competition in Stockholm, Sweden, at the Fitness Festival. back then, it was already really mind-blowing because you were really new to the sport, really, really fresh. And I remember you winning the competition. You did first place against Dan Rosenberg and Tom Rosenberg, which was extremely, extremely crazy. This was the first time I saw you. And back then, how long did you do calisthenics and street workout?
Roughly 2 years. And that's maybe the thing. I was super underdog in that competition. And the same was with actually the FIBO now. It's people don't expect you to deliver anything. And since I didn't have the pressure, I think that's one of the reasons I actually managed to win it. Because I didn't have the pressure that I had to perform or anything. So I just did what I usually do.
That's super crazy. And this for the FIBO, what did you think when you did the qualification? Super nice round, was really safe entry in my opinion into that top 16. Then your first battle was against Daniel Christoph, who is current world champion. What were your thoughts when it was announced?
Well, to be honest, I the moment I heard his name, I was okay, I'm done. I already know I was gonna lose it, but before I went to the competition, we always spoke about it would be so awesome to be in a battle against him. And I was just happy, to be honest, that I got to battle him. And that's probably why I delivered on that battle as well. I was super happy with my performance and landed the things I wanted to land. And then, yes, it was unlucky that his level is so, so high. But yeah, super happy to battle against him.
Yeah, I can imagine. I didn't know how to react because I was, on the one hand, I was really, I had the same thought that it will be really, really, really difficult. Nothing is impossible in calisthenics. Everybody can fail, even Daniel. Exactly. So, but still, I was sad in one eye and happy in the other because the battle would be insane. But I mean, it was a great battle, and you did the things that you planned. Yeah, right. So you did the front flip combo, for example, on the P bars, which also went viral on Instagram, by the way.
Overall, I was super happy. It didn't even matter that I lost because I know I didn't stand a chance at that point. Just being happy to be in the moment, to be honest.
Yeah. And maybe it was kind of the same mindset then, if you had not the big pressure or not the pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. And just being in Sweden, no one knows about like athletes in Sweden. Mm-hmm. So just being in the FIBO, people only know me via maybe Instagram and so on, and that I'm a Garnation athlete. But overall, most people didn't know who I was. And just having that in mind is a good way, in my opinion, a good thought. Like, no one expected to do anything, so you might just show them what you got.
True. Yeah, because, I mean, we talked about it before the FIBO competition. Like, in the past, you only participated in Sweden and the Nordic countries. Yeah. This was your only area of, like, competing as a professional athlete. And now it was the first competition outside of this, the Nordic countries.
Yeah. So it was just huge being there. And before I went to the competition, I was like thinking about not going, mm-hmm. because in my mind, I'm still like this small athlete that doesn't really belong on the big stage. And, you know, it's probably the people around me pushing me to compete. But I'm super happy I went. And like, you get so much from being on big competitions. Just meeting other people and motivation-wise as well, and being inspired. So definitely going to compete more outside of Sweden.
That's cool. Can you maybe tell us a little about the mindset that you had to develop to participate? I mean, it's also you're also influenced by the great surrounding that you have with Daniel, yeah. with Marlene, with Dana. Like, you have a really close family, like, and strong community there in Sweden. But like, how did you develop and how did you come over your fear that you're the small guy, you know, like not the small physical guy, but small, like athlete, unexperienced athlete on the stage?
Yeah, I mean, as a person, I always try to be very humble and mm-hmm. never really brag about like the level I am at. So Daniel does the work for me, always promoting me, but they are the ones like, pushing me and telling me like, yeah, you are good enough. And the thing about, and they also remind me like what I've done, like the competition I've been at, like I do what I do, usually don't fail as much either. And they just make me settle and like believe you can achieve at every competition. And even though you have like high people that you're battling against, it doesn't really matter if you win or lose, or just being there is going to make you a much greater athlete. And I'm really happy I got people around me, though, because on your own, it's really hard to take these first steps. And that's pretty much it.
Somebody also asked, do you have a coach or a mentor? That's also an interesting question.
Daniel, I would definitely say, is my, like, I see him as a coach. Me and him, we do like my schedule together, but like motivational wise and inspiring his, like he and Marlin, they always follow me. So they were in Germany, motivating and pushing me. And they've always been like big supporters. So definitely see them as my coaches.
That's cool. If you have to say, like, as a coach for freestyle, what's the most important thing? Is it the mindset thing, or do they teach you a lot of about technique, or like, what's the most important thing?
Probably mindset. Mm-hmm. Because it maybe 2 years ago I started doing tricks that they'd never done.
No.
And at that point, it's like, they know also it's all about mindset. Like, you got to see the tricks before you go on the bar and do them. And they also push me, because sometimes I have the thing where when I fear to do something, I kind of let it go. There was a period where I had a 540 struggle. Mm-hmm. So what happened is like, I had like 4 months where I didn't do no 540 attempts. And at those points, they're like, okay, come on, just do some attempts at least. And so in that sense, they just motivate me to try things. And sometimes techniques as well, like they can see when I'm doing something, if even though they can't do the trick themselves, they see that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they motivate and like help me in many areas.
That's super cool. You said that it's important to see the move before you can do it, and that you see yourself doing it. Can you explain that more? Like, why is that important?
Like both in dynamics and in statics, I would say. So if like sometimes what I do before competing or doing a new trick, I just listen to some motivational speeches or like some calm music. And like if you close your eyes and you can still really see yourself doing the trick, like almost like a dream. So if you can see yourself doing the move, your body automatically adapts to it. So one big move that I've been struggling with and landing like on and off is the front lip re grab.
Mm-hmm.
And when I land it, I can truly, it's when I can see myself doing it. And the same with static. Sometimes like you can look at someone doing a planche or a front lever and you get hyped and you can see yourself like, okay, I can feel the front lever before doing it. Like those attempts are probably one of the best ones because already before you go up to the bar, you to some extent already have done it. So yeah, that's what I mean by seeing the trick. Like if you can imagine yourself doing it, it's definitely possible.
Wow. Interesting. Like for me, it sounds like visualization also some kind of meditation, even though meditation
often, some extent.
Meditation for a lot of people sounds really spiritual, etc. But it's also like kind of meditation. Interesting. But
sometimes it's false. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, when I started off, I looked at Daniel Lysons and these big athletes doing both freestyle, but mostly statics in the beginning. So I could lay in my bed late at night watching them doing these statics. And I'm like, man, I got to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Go up, feel like I can do it. Trying the planche and just boom, falling down straight up. But most of the times it helps. Definitely does.
Cool. You also said a few minutes ago that you like that you rarely fail, and it's also something that was interesting for me. Like you had to at the FIBO, you had to put away all the mats because even like already because of your height, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But you also seemed really confident that you won't fall. Can you tell us more how you achieved this security, that safety at the bar?
Yeah, like when we always train with mats. So before comps and things, I never take them away, like training without mats. But the thing is that I like competition is almost always about planning your combos. So you can lose so many points by doing stupid choices. For example, I never do combos that I'm unsure of. And some people may say like, yeah, but you did this combo 1 year ago. You should switch it up to something new. But like for me, it's all about landing and the holding statics as well is something that some people stress with. And it's really easy to do it in a competition. But if you're holding the statics and doing everything right, you're going to get the high combination points and so on. So for me, it's always been about rather being a little bit safe, but landing everything and making it clean instead of really pushing for these big moves where there's a high probability of failing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely makes sense. And it's also something that you see a lot of strong athletes do at the competition, that they try like a crazy, crazy move.
Yeah.
And then they fail. And I can imagine that failing is like a really, really big thing, like mindset wise in a competition when you're under time pressure. And
that's also one thing I always have. I always have one combo where if I fail something, I don't go back to the combo I was planning to do. So I just grab the bar and do a combo that automatically, I know what to do. Like I've done it so many times, so I don't have to think about the fail and like, okay, but what should I do next? That's something really good to have. So you're not afraid of failing. And also when you've done the trick so many times, you can feel if you're going to catch it or not. So in the FIBA, for example, I was planning on doing a triple 360. But when I did the double, I felt like, no, it doesn't feel right. So instead of doing a triple, I settled with a double 360. And I don't think anyone noticed it. But I think it was a good choice. Like, it ain't worth it.
True. So you also have to be like, you have to take decisions really quickly and listen to your body and listen, like, be aware of the flow that you're in.
Exactly. Because you've done a trick so many times, like, you know if it feels right or not. So, and that's the thing about doing things that you're confident about, because you know before you're going to fail, if you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's like, that's it's a good thing to have.
Wow, that's super cool. Like, in these 10-15 minutes already, so much competition advice. Like, super interesting. Let's switch back a few years. Can you tell us how you got into the sport? How was your, like, what sport did you do before street workout? Can you tell us, take us in your your journey?
The big journey.
Yeah.
I've always been a swimmer. Did swimming for at least 10 years. And then I've always enjoyed it, still do it today. Not as much though, maybe sometimes like 2 times a month maximum, but more like a relaxing way because I enjoy it. But there was a period where I wanted to start going to the gym because of the physique, like to build a great body. So I hit the gym for roughly 1 year. And I don't know exactly when, but I started doing handstand attempts and just doing it against the wall, and nothing to do with calisthenics really. It was just, I wanted the handstand skill. And I did that for probably half a year. And then I switched gym. And that's where my big journey started. Because at this gym, I had a personal trainer by the name of Emil Langley. He saw that I was training handstand, and at that time almost no one at the gym did it. So we got together, like, we started working out with each other, and he taught me and showed me like how much the calisthenics world was. Like, I thought it was just handstand. He showed me the front lever, and I was super impressed. Then the planche, thought it was impossible. And then it took me to Extreme Fabriken, where and it is the place we're doing freestyle now. And he showed me the whole team, like Marlin, Daniel, Dan, and all these people. And at that time, that really blew my mind. Like, seeing them doing the freestyle was insane. After that, like, I started training with all these people, and they've been training at that time, like at least 4 years, I think, or roughly. So they had a lot of experience. And I think that's also why I evolved pretty quick, because they know what worked and also what didn't work. So, yeah.
In the gym, have you been like, have you been super strong? Like, was it super easy? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one thing as well. I do believe I got good genes. Like, I've always had it pretty easy to build mass, and always been like, a little like the stronger. Yeah, one of the strongest in like the classes, even when I was younger and didn't really work out, I've always been a little bit bigger. And I definitely think that helped. And also motivational wise, it didn't take that long before I started seeing like results physically as well. And motivation is pretty much key. Doesn't really matter what makes you motivated, but as long as you have something, it's definitely drives the workouts forward.
Mm-hmm. What was the main reason that you started calisthenics off? Like, is it the community, or was it to build like an even better physique, or like what was the main reason?
In the beginning, like To be honest, I was getting kind of bored of just lifting weights, and when I didn't really see like the potential in it. Like lifting weights, all I could see was getting a better body. But then I looked at the calisthenics athletes and I'm like, okay, they had great bodies, so I might just do that as well if I'm only looking for a great body. But like then when I saw how much was involved in the calisthenics community, I was sold directly. So I always trained front lever and clench and freestyle as well, and enjoyed every workout. When I went to the gym, like sometimes I had to just push myself. I wasn't really motivated to work out. But when I started calisthenics, there were so many things I wanted to learn, and it made me like I really wanted to work out every day. Had to stop myself like to really take a rest day. That's the hardest part.
True. Yeah, even in the beginning, like you're progressing so quick, like for at least like a lot of people, and it's so hard not to overtrain and to like because the joints need time in the beginning, and like they don't grow as quick as your biceps, for example.
I also think like I've always like worked out in some way, and when I was swimming, we trained like 5 or 6 times a week. So my body has always been used to working out. And there's a lot of like back muscles involved in swimming. And it made me like the freestyle, you need back muscles and like front lever as well, a lot of back. So I started progressing pretty fast in these areas. And I think that also is like the reason why I stuck around. Because I saw results pretty quick, and results are always like great motivation to see that you're actually getting something out of it.
True. So first goal was the handstand, if I'm correct. Yeah. Can you tell us like how long did it take to unlock the handstand, and what was next?
The handstand, I started grinding on my own on the gym. So it was long time ago, but I can't really remember how long it took, but I got a pretty good handstand, like over 1 year, maybe around 1 year I trained it. And, but at the time I had been training like the gym for 1 year. So I definitely think that helped me because I did a lot of shoulder exercises as well. So, but yeah, roughly 1 year for the handstand. And then when I started doing some handstand push-ups as well against the wall, and just training for that. And I think it was because I saw it on YouTube or something like that. But then when I started training on the new gym with Emil, he showed me there were so many things. And the front lever was one move that I was strong in from the beginning. Like in the planche, I had struggled with like tuck planche, whereas the front lever, I could see myself doing it. So the front lever was the move I started putting most time in, and was the next one I unlocked.
Nice. Did you think in the beginning that you would become that strong? Like, did you ever think of becoming a professional calisthenics athlete?
No. Definitely not. Like that's the thing that's probably evolved the most, is like the mindset that it's possible, especially when you started training, you started off with a tuck planche and tuck off everything basically, and that was hard, and then you progress to the next step, and that's also hard, like doing straddle or advanced tuck and stuff. When I started off, no, I had no clue I was going to be here today.
And did you ever think like that your height is something that can hold you back at all from performing at a high level?
Like that's a huge area, because I think many tall people see it as a disadvantage. And to be honest, sometimes it's going to take a little bit longer time to learn a few things. And sometimes I feel bad for the joints when I do freestyle. But I've always, when I started training, I was always surrounded by pretty tall people. And I think that helped me a lot because I never saw it as a disadvantage, because like I never thought like, yeah, it would be much easier if I was shorter or lighter. And so I definitely think it's the mindset that you believe it's the size that's going to stop you. Even though like, yeah, it might be to some extent, but if you're thinking about it too much, I think it's going to stop you. So yeah, I had to erase that thought.
Yeah. And like Sweden and also the Nordic countries in like the people are taller than usual, right?
They are one
of the tallest.
We got some like steroids food or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's good. I think it's really important. We also had like a few people in the Instagram when we asked for your questions, and they told us like there were like a few demotivated people like saying, yeah, I'm close to giving up on my plant or on my front lever. And do you have like maybe some advice that you can share to somebody who is tall and heavy like you?
Like when it comes to training wise, I think it's, you gotta find a way that is like funny to work out with, and like you gotta enjoy the workout. So I've always done training with resistance band because it's given me the opportunity to really feel how it is to be in a planche position, even if I can't hold it. But the resistance band makes me feel like I'm doing it. And also, like it's gonna take some time to get these moves. And even like, if you are a big person, like I'm telling you, it's definitely worth the grind because when you finally get these moves, it's going to look so damn dope. Because the thing about, for example, freestyle that I enjoy so much about Daniel Lysons, it's like he's a great athlete and the things he does is insane. But what really shocked me was his size. Like when you're a big person doing things, there's so much energy. Yeah, it's so like, when you, even though it's hard to get there, it's so worth it. And sometimes you gotta have the goal as the motivation. And during the, like, some extent you're gonna have discipline, maybe for the majority of the time. Like if you're disciplined for the periods where you're not motivated, there's going to be points where you get motivation. Like you're going to see results. Even if like planche and front, they are big moves and take time. I definitely also recommend switching up the workouts. If you're feeling like you're just like digging a hole and not getting anywhere. So sometimes I can like, if I'm really not feeling for a workout, I can switch it up and maybe like do a gym workout just to get some pump, or like do exercises that also help, even though they're not like they're indirectly helping. So maybe like a shoulder press or something, just for the handstand. Like a shoulder is always a shoulder, so if you're working it out, it's going to help you in other areas as well. So switching up the workout and like really enjoying the workout is my main advice.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. And so, like, as you said, like the work is harder, but the reward, like the harder the work, the bigger the reward afterwards, exactly, when you unlock it. And I mean, like the recognition and the, all the, I don't know, the impressed looks like you get at the FIBO, that you get at the like Beast of the Bars event. Yeah. Like this is, I guess it's like a just the return and the payback of the, all the hard work and going the extra mile.
Because I also think that's like the high level athletes, like we always see them as a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. And I think if more people are going to get involved, like the mixture of tall, high, big, small, like when we get more more a greater variety of people, like I think more people are gonna be motivated as well. Because if you only see like, okay, this is the typical person that's at the highest level, like, okay, I'm already done, like I don't look like him or her or anyone. So I definitely feel like if more big people are gonna start training calisthenics, and more people are gonna come to the top, and more people are gonna get motivated as well. So I believe it's just because the sport is kind of small, the elite level is dominated by a certain type of person.
Yeah, and the more people, the more diversity people like you bring into the sport, the more people we're gonna attract. And true. Question that also came from the community: what's your opinion about weight categories in freestyle? Do you sometimes feel that there should be weight categories?
Yes. I mean, if you're looking at the big sports like boxing and stuff like that, like they always have weight classes, and because there's always going to be privileges with being big, and there's going to be like downsides as well, and therefore like the biggest competitions I think should be different classes, whether it's weight. Yeah, I mean weight is probably bigger than the height, but I think there should be weight classes. So.
And like what I see is that the sport is currently like too small, and that's what you also said, that the big competitions should have that. But like for a small competition, it's really hard. Like it's even hard. Like a lot of competitions, I know that they can't get enough female athletes already.
Exactly.
For all weight classes to participate, and then they are happy when one category is full, you know, like it's we did it. And if you would split that now into three or four weight categories, damn, that's like that would be hard. But as you said, like the big competitions, that would be a big step, I think, as well.
So definitely something the sport is gonna like work towards, because it's so understandable it can't be done at every competition. Then you're gonna have like two people in each category. Doesn't make sense. So.
Yeah, interesting. Can you tell us your planned journey? So I would be super, super interested in how it went. Like, when did you start? Like, what were the first exercises? Were you already that heavy when you started working out, or did you first unlock the planche and then bulk up your weight? Can you tell us in as much detail as you can? The planche journey.
I would try to make people understand.
Awesome.
So
thank you.
I started off at pretty much 70 kilograms. And that was after I like had almost 2 years of gym workout. So the first exercise that I did with the planche was, of course, tuck planche. Because at the time I was watching a lot of YouTube videos, like tutorials, and seeing people progress. So tuck planche was something that almost everyone recommends. So I did that one, and then I started off by doing a little bit of leans as well. And then I also combined it, since I was a gym lad from the beginning. I combined like, okay, so this one takes a lot of core strength and shoulders. So I usually did a planche workout. I started off with tuck planche and doing my body weight, and then I would end the workout by doing some gym workouts for the shoulders. And I loved the handstand at the time as well. So almost every workout, I started off by doing some handstand attempts and probably a few handstand push-ups along the way as well. And then it came to like a period where like I wanted to be in the position. And that's where I started like using resistance band. Because I could like take my tuck planche to almost straddle planche with a bigger band, of course, but it was really easy to see progress as well, because you could hold it for 5 seconds and a few weeks later you had a much smaller resistance band but had it for the same period of time. And after that, I started like enjoying this workout so much, I stopped doing the gym. the gym stuff. And my main things that I did was probably like tuck planche push-ups without resistance band. And then I started doing straddle push-ups with resistance band. I did a lot of holds with resistance band, common theme here. When I had like straddle planche for roughly 5 seconds without the resistance band, I started training the full planche. And when I did so, I started a lot of raises. Negative straddle and full planche negatives as well, even though it was really hard. And the leans has also been something I've always been improving on, because in the beginning, like the form on my leans were absolutely trash. And you get so much advice from, the reason I got good was because I trained with great people like Malin, Daniel, and Emil, and they know a lot. So they gave me a lot of exercises as well that had worked for them. And so they corrected my leans and in general what I had to think about. I think that's my journey. I still, upon this day, think planche is like it's hard. In bad days when you're feeling weak, I can roughly hold a full planche. Like the front lever is another thing. I can always like hold 3 seconds at least. But the planche still struggling. Wow. So yeah, still working a lot on the planche.
Nice. And you still train with resistance bands. What I saw like in your, in your story, you did some full planche to straddle planche push-ups, like with resistance bands in your backyard.
Always when people ask me like if I have an advice, I always tell them like leans is number one because it's you can do it right away. Mm-hmm. And number two is resistance band. Like it's just a great way to keep a steady repetition or a steady hold. Like in the beginning of the workout, I usually start with like a lightweight resistance band. And I always try to have like minimum 4 repetitions, or at least like 5 seconds hold when I'm doing things. But then towards the end of the workout, I'm of course going to be more tired. So sometimes I switch up the resistance band to a stronger one so I can keep these repetitions. And it has worked for me. So I give it as an advice and people can try it out, even though it's different for people, but I enjoy it.
That's cool. Like when you talk about the time that you like the time under tension or the time you hold like an exercise, is there like a rule of thumb that you can give how you train? Do you like in your static sets, do you go to the maximum in every hold or do you always have like 1 or 2 seconds in reserve? Like how do you structure it?
Almost always doing it to failure. Mm-hmm. Almost always. But since I'm doing it with resistance band, it feels better for the body. Like even though I maximize my repetitions in, for example, front lever pull-ups, I try to do at least 5. And on the 6th, I might feel like I'm not going to make it the whole way to the top. And then I stop there because I'm not going to do this like okay repetitions. So I always try to have like good form on the reps, which also means that I'm to some extent pushing myself to the limit, but not exactly where I'm like absolutely sore in the muscles. So repetitions wise, I always try to do around 5. And when it comes to the holds, it's almost 5 seconds as well.
Okay, like when we talk about structuring and programming, can you tell us your current split, like workout split that you have for the week?
In the beginning of the week, I got one main front lever workout, and that includes doing one on front lever. It includes pull-ups, front lever pull-ups, and holds in general, wide front lever. So it's a workout just basically getting stronger for the front. Mm-hmm. The next day I got planche And that also includes Maltese holds, getting strong for that one. Then I got a rest day, and then we have freestyle in the middle of the week. And I almost always do like 1.5 hour freestyle. And when I'm starting to feel the hands and all that, I go on and do handstands. Almost always handstands when I'm tired. Then after that, I got a split workout. So I do pretty much my favorite front lever exercises and my favorite planche exercises as a combination. And then I also got one day where I do only handstand variations, and especially a lot of one-arm training at the moment. And then I combine it with doing core strength. So dragon flags and things that will benefit me. And then I got another freestyle session at the end of the week. So two freestyles and about 2 times a week I try and planche and front lever.
Wow, cool. So overall, how many workouts is this per week? Is this
six?
Six workouts, six. Okay. Yeah. And how long does one session last?
Statics is about 1.5 or 2 hours. And the freestyle, we're usually at the place for 2 to 3 hours. But when we're there, there's a lot of people. So we talk a lot and it's not really working out. Maybe 2 hours of workout.
Okay. And somebody also asked for your favorite exercise for planche and for shoulder strength, maybe. Do you have I don't know, 1, 2, 3 exercise that you can share for planche and for front lever, both?
Yeah, for the planche, I always begin the workout with doing it with my own body weight. And that includes doing push-ups is the one that I'm putting a lot of focus on now. Mm-hmm. So I always start with doing planche push-ups, and after that I go on to do holds, and this especially with different variations. I'm not very flexible in the wrist though, so I always do it on p-bars, but different variations with p-bars and doing holds. And then in the end of the workout, I usually do things that I can like change the tension, so for example the leans. If I'm feeling tired, I just don't lean as much. But that's something I do at the end. And also, I do use dumbbells, especially in my Maltese progress and in planche. So I pretty much lay on the floor and use dumbbells to strengthen the shoulders. And that one has worked a lot, very, very well for me. So yeah, that's my main planche. And for the front lever, I do the same pull-ups. It's one that I've been focusing a lot on. So pull-ups with resistance band. I believe it helps me a lot. If you're doing a pull-up, you're in the front lever position as well, in the bottom and through the whole workout. So I always start with it. And then I do one arm. Front lever holds, also with resistance band, because pull-ups and one arm is like two main goals that I want to have with the front lever. And besides that, front lever raises is also one that I've been doing for a long time and feel a good connection with. I think those are like my main ones.
Cool. Like when you say one arm, I have to share one story. I don't remember who it was. It's not even important, but I heard some people talk at the FIBO and they said who's this Simon? Like I've never heard of him before. And they said if he would be able, because I remember at the FIBO, you didn't do a one arm front lever.
No, I didn't.
And these people said, like, if he would have done like a one-arm front lever, or if he would be able to do a one-arm front lever, I think he would easily, like, not easily, but he would be able to beat Daniels. And like then a few days later, I thought about it. I had it in the back of my head, but I think I didn't see you consciously doing a one-arm front lever. And then like when I saw you doing it, I don't know if it was a post or a story, but I thought, yeah, damn. There it is. So that's
super. I've got strong. A lot of people writing to me like, you gotta post more about your one arm, because I did it a few, like Feast of the Bars, I did it, all right form, not the best, but when it came to this competition, like if I'm doing a one arm, I'm only comfortable with starting off with doing a one arm. That's why I'm working on it pretty much now, because I want to be able to do it like after a combination or something like that.
Yeah.
And for the FIBA, I already had everything planned. And then I was like, all right, I have the front lever one arm, but I might do it if I feel like it. And when I done my combos and on the P bars, for example, I was like, okay, if I feel strong enough, I can switch up the normal front to one arm. But at the moment I was so tired, so.
Okay, nice. Do you feel that you're currently at your optimal weight, or is there like a weight drop or loss? How is it, like, I'm missing the word, but do you want to go up in weight or
at the moment I feel like I got some extra weight that's unnecessary. So like when it comes to my, I've added a little bit of running to my workout, just because I want to drop to run maybe 84 kilograms, maybe just drop a few, not that much at all. But I don't believe I'm going to be much more heavy than this. So it depends. If I build a lot of muscle, the mass is going to come as well. But at the moment I'm trying to drop like a few kilograms, but nothing huge.
Okay, interesting, because I was already thinking like 90 kg would be insane, like, but yeah. But I can imagine there's also the sweet spot, like between I don't know, 90 kg sounds crazy, but I think it's like it's too much. But yeah, before I forget it, I have to ask you, how tall are you? Because this is also something, it will be everywhere in the comments otherwise.
Yeah, 185 centimeters. So pretty tall as well.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about the mass. Like, I haven't stopped growing yet. Like, since 4 years ago, when I started off at 72 kilograms roughly, I've always been like going up. And Beast of the Bars, I was around 80 kilograms, I think, or something, a little bit over. And now I peaked at 86. So the thing is that I'm not seeing a stop yet. So I might just keep on going. But yeah.
But are you also growing in height still?
No, not that much.
Okay. Yeah. Really fascinating. Another question. Like, what's your favorite workout equipment? You already told us, I think, one or two times, maybe 10 times about the resistance bands, but what is your, like, the equipment
that you always use? The next one is probably P-bars, for sure. I don't know how many P-bars I got, but there's a lot. And especially now I got all the ones from Gonation, so I pretty much got one for all the different scenarios. So I don't know. I like to have them when I'm traveling, because it's like, I can do the planche and the handstand. It makes it possible to do almost like a full workout just with a set of P-bars. So definitely prefer them.
Cool. Do you train with chalk? And yes, with powder chalk or liquid chalk? Like,
liquid when I'm doing statics, for like to get a good grip. But when I'm doing freestyle, I do prefer the other one. Because liquid is almost too good grip for me when I'm doing freestyle. And I also have a 10. I put the bar in almost my fingertips when I'm doing freestyle because I don't know. It's just the way I've been training. So I like to have it rather a little bit slippery, to be honest, than too much grip. And especially if you're doing bigger moves like giants and stuff, I don't want to rip.
Yeah.
So
makes sense. And I can already tell you, I mean, you already saw it at the FIBO, but there will also be like chalk blocks and chalk powder near future. So I'm really looking forward to send it to you because we see a lot of freestyle athletes preferring powder chalk because of just the different attributes of it. And for statics, like liquid or like reps, also liquid is preferred.
Yeah, I think it's really good for the bars as well, for the freestyle, because with the liquid, it has, sometimes it gets stuck on the bar as well. Mm-hmm. And like either you clean it all the time or you rip your hands.
Yeah.
Like no in between.
True. Nice. Preventing injuries. That's also an interesting topic because if you weigh a lot, also there's a lot of pressure on the joints. Yeah. How was your injury history? Like, did you have injuries, and if not, like, how did you prevent them?
Like, that's the thing. One reason I have progressed so fast is also because I haven't been injured, not like in a big way at least, and it's pretty interesting because I'm not the person that does a lot of warm up, and I don't know. Like, for me, to some extent, it's a little bit magic because I feel like I should be more injured sometimes. So then it made me think about like my workouts, and I definitely think I haven't injured myself because the workouts are really good adapted for who I am. Mm-hmm. And for example, resistance band and stuff like that has, I think it's a soft way to work out the body. And also like knowing when to stop is something that's been hard, but definitely something I learned along the way. And when the workouts are being like the top notch, for example, like now I'm getting more progress than I've done in a long time. And I know that this is the perfect time to take a deload week, because when I'm getting so much progress, I know it puts a lot of tension in the muscles and the body. So I got to step down at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But so learning what signals your body is giving is probably the number one key. And of course, I'm warming up the wrist a little bit extra if I'm doing a handstand workout or things like that, and freestyle as well. A lot of, like, that's pretty much the whole body warming up. But overall, I think it's adapting the workout to your body. Like, mm-hmm. it shouldn't feel that painful when you're working out.
Okay, cool. I expected like a secret pill or a secret formula, but we have to live with that. And listening to your body is also like really important, like for a lot of areas in calisthenics. Yeah. What's your goal for the future? Like, what can we expect from you in the next month and maybe also in the next years?
Well, the next competition that's upcoming is the Nationals. And I'm hoping to, I think they still got like the number one person from the Nationals gets to participate in the World Championship. And like the plans for the summer is basically to compete in the World Championship. It's been a main goal for a while. But since it was in Russia as well before, it already was a little bit of a struggle to get there. So I really wanted to feel complete before I went. But like this year, it really feels like a good opportunity to mm-hmm. compete. And also because I met so many athletes at FIBO, like just going there, meeting many people again is just a nice moment. So the World Championship is like the number one goal. And training wise, I just there's a lot of moves I'm training for. Freestyle is a lot more to work on, especially after FIBA. There's so many things I want to learn. And in the statics, like my Maltese power, I'm progressing on, and that's something I want to get stronger at. But besides that, I'm like, I don't have any like super big goals with the training. But I definitely think like there's going to be a lot of years that are going to be involved with calisthenics. And yeah, I'm definitely planning on keep on going for a while.
Nice. That's good to hear. Like, I'm also really looking forward on where the journey will take us, take you. So, questions also about your diet, diet and also supplements. How do you eat? Like, how important is nutrition for you? And how what's your opinion on supplements?
Well, it varies. The supplements, creatine is the only one I like take on a regular basis. And besides that, I've taken protein powder. Like that sometimes, it's nothing I take every day. But the creatine is, and besides that, I think you get enough from the foods you eat. Mm-hmm. And I've always tried to eat pretty healthy. I've never counted calories or things like that, but like you see if a food is good or bad in some sense. So I've always tried to eat healthy, even though I'm not that strict. And when it comes to sugar, I think that's the main diet thing that I got now. So me and Daniel, we made a deal till the nationals, no one is allowed to eat sugar. And that includes like candy and things that are obviously sugary. And it helps me not in the sense of losing weight or things like that, but when it comes to the energy in the workouts, I feel light, even though I'm pretty heavy, but I feel light in the workouts, and I feel like I got a solid amount of energy throughout the whole workout. Whereas when I ate sugar when I eat a lot of sugar one day, the next day, if I'm working out that day, it's not going to be that good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think cutting out the sugar, it's been a huge thing for me. So that's the diet part.
Nice. Really, really interesting. We are slowly coming to an end of the interview. I'm really, really happy about your time already. We have like a few quick questions, quick answers at the end of every interview. And the first question is, what's your favorite food?
Food, I would probably say burger.
Yeah, nice.
Burger person.
Awesome. Are you a dog or a cat person?
I'm more... I don't know. That's when it's hard. I've had a cat, love cats, but if I were to buy one now, I would probably have a dog. So I'm a dog.
That's such a common theme. Like so many athletes say, yeah, I have a cat, but I am a dog person. So yeah. I think, okay. Yeah. Anyways, good for you. So what athletes inspire you?
From the beginning and upon this day, it's going to be Daniel Lysons. Like, he's been a huge motivation. And then, of course, there's like a lot of athletes that are really good in statics. They got really good dynamics. So like on Instagram, I follow a lot of people that are definitely inspiring. But when it comes to the overall, like if I were to look at one video to get insane motivation, I would look at Daniel Lysons. So... that's the number one athlete that's definitely been inspiring for a long time.
Cool. Do you have a favorite skill?
I would say handstand. It's the one I've been doing for the longest time and still do probably 5 times a week at least. Nice. Just enjoying being upside down.
That's cool. Are you more a pull or push person?
Pull. The front lever has always been like the number one exercise. So, and planche is a little bit more struggling, but so I gotta choose the pull.
Nice. Do you have a favorite movie?
It's hard. Fast and Furious has been a lot of action and cars, and yeah,
nice.
Probably gotta choose those.
Cool. Yeah, favorite music genre.
I love like Eminem has always been, and then when it comes to freestyle, like a lot of music with big drops and bass.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, the best calisthenics event you've been at so far.
I think the FIBO, definitely FIBO. FIBO and Beast of the Bars are two events that's going to be with me for a long time. So, yeah.
Nice. What's your message to the calisthenics community?
Well, I definitely hope a lot of big people that have been thinking about stopping calisthenics because the progress is slow or not feeling like they're going to, they have a potential in it. I really hope they see me as a like proof that it's possible, because that's almost the only reason I'm doing all the Instagram and stuff, because I want to show people that like it's more than possible. Like definitely people that are big can achieve huge potential. And in general, I hope a lot of more people start with calisthenics. It's like the community is probably one of the best I've ever experienced. And also like the type of training is like, it's just so powerful to be able to do these things with the body. Like I spoke to a lot of friends before and we discussed this, that like you're given one body and one brain basically when you're born. And like if you learn to control both of them, the brain and the body, like you're basically unstoppable. So that's what I've been grinding on, like always trying to learn new things and always trying to push the body to new limits. And I definitely think calisthenics is the way to go for both of these areas.
That's true. Wow. Thanks for sharing. How can people get in touch with you? We will put all the links in the description, but where can they reach you best if they have any questions, etc.?
Instagram is probably the one I look most regular. So yeah, Instagram. If someone writes, I always write back. And to be honest, when people like ask for advice and stuff, I love to give advice, to be honest. I'm not the one to like, you know, buy the schedule or something. So if they have any questions or want an exercise that they should try out or something, it's just send a message.
Awesome. Big thank you for taking the time for this interview. I really appreciated it. And I really think there was like a lot of useful advice in it. And I think a lot of people got motivation, but also knowledge about their training. And I'm super hyped now to go train because I'm also like, I don't know what it is, but it's like it's just so motivating to see somebody like against all odds, you know, like against the physics, and like it's so motivating. I think you have the same feeling when you see Daniels or when you saw Daniels perform like years ago. Yeah. But it's like so motivating, the physique, the performance, the discipline of sticking with it. So I'm always like, and after this interview specifically, I'm motivated to go train. Really big thank you for your time. Thanks for being thank a part for... of the team. And
thank you for being here, letting me speak. I'm really happy to get the opportunity.
Awesome.
So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks also to everybody listening to this till the end. It's been a longer interview and I'm super happy about it because there was like a lot of useful information in it. I think if you liked it, give it a thumbs up. It helps a lot. And If you have any more questions to Simon, leave it in the comments, and then maybe we'll do a second episode. Let's see. After the World Cup's World Championship win, like maybe we'll see. We will do a second interview. So yeah, all the best, and thanks for listening.